messes we did here. I know he got lunch ready, so.
They should serve lunch at these lunchtime SRs.
They really should.
Supplementary
rabbinics.
Their requirements also.
You're going to have rabbinic rabbinics.
Well, we can use Russell again as a backup. We'll give it a minute anyway. We're meeting here because I just want the flexibility of going a few minutes past four. So I guess we can have the flexibility of starting a few minutes past three if. Okay, I guess we'll start.
You're
ready? A few ha'aretz on some things that we had discussed previously before we move on to today's presentation. We mentioned a couple of shiurim ago, the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin in Yevamos tells us that as part of the disabusing of prospective gerim, we are modia them of mitzvos, mitzvos kalos, and mitzvos, mitzvos chamuras. A smattering of the more severe mitzvahs and a smattering of the easier mitzvahs. And we discussed machlokas rishona maybe, or maybe in the Iri and the Bach, whether this is the mitzvahs kalos are meant to discourage them or meant to encourage them, be that as it may. The Gemara doesn't tell us beferish what these mitzvahs kalos and mitzvahs chamuras are. The Rabbi Stern points this out in his Geirus Gilchasa Perik Beis, that you do have, the Gemara tells us that you tell them about Shabbos and you tell them about Achilas Chelev. So those sound like Chamuros. So you tell them if you're Mechal Shabbos, once you're Jewish, then it's Achiyav Skila. If you're Ochel Chelev, then it's Achiyav Karis. So those sound like the Chamuros. Rav Stern assumes, I'm not sure why this has to be the case, but he assumes as a Dabar Pashat that Mixas is a minimum of three. I mean, I said Mixas Mitzos is Mitzvahs is Shtayim, but he assumes it has to be three. So he says, you already have two in the Gemara, what's the third one? So he thinks, well, maybe the third one should be other Machalos Asuras. Okay, but he points out, Mixas Mitzvahs Kalos, the Gemara doesn't give you any examples. So the Marsha in Arsugi here, Yevamos Mitzvayin Amabez, thinks that the Gemara's presentation of the exchange between Naomi and Ruth may be reflective of the mitzvahs kalos. So when Naomi says, you should know about Chum Shabbos and Yichud, so those are the mitzvahs kalos. Chum Shabbos, according to most Rishonim always, and according to some Rishonim sometimes, is a Din D'Rabbanan, and Yichud is relatively kal, maybe of later origin, at least certain situations of Yichud. So those are examples of mitzvahs kalos. He points out in the Sefer Geirus Gilchasa that there is a work attributed to, the work is called Klali Hamila L'Rebbe Gershom Hagozer. So I don't know if we know too much about this Rebbe Gershom HaGozer. He was a Rishon. He lived in the period of the Rishonim. I don't know much about him biographically. So he has this very brief chibur, which is primarily on Hilchos Mila. On the very end, he has a little bit on Hilchos Geiris. So it's known as Hilchos Mila, the Rebbe Gershom HaGozer, with an appendix on Geiris. So in that appendix on Geiris, he says, Mitzvos Kalos are Leked Shechecha Peya Umayser Sheni. The Rebbe Gershom HaGozer. So the Geirus Kelchasa points out that that's not the impression you get from our Gemara. Because our Gemara discusses Lekha Shechaveya Maisir Ani in the context of a stuck requirement. The Gemara says, Yitala Mitzas Mitzas Kalos, Mitzas Mitzas Chamuros, U Modiyan Oso, Avad Lekha Shechaveya Maisir Sheni. That's a separate category. The stalker components. As the Meiri told us, because Dachrim are not used to stalker, so that may turn them off. So, he says maybe the Rabbeinu Gershom HaGozer had a different gears than the Gemara, but according to the gears that we have, Alecha Shechot Peyam Ma'isusheini are not from the Mitzvah Kalos, they're from the other stalker obligation. So in our Beis Din over here, usually the Nusach, there is a formal Hodas HaMitzvos. This kind of conversation takes place. The theory of the conversation took place many times before the actual Maisa Geiris. But typically, at the Mikvah, the Beis Din will have a conversation with the about-to-be Gera Gioris before they go to the Mikvah, whether in the Mikvah or right before they're in the Mikvah. So that that conversation includes some of these things. So the nusach that Rabbi Rami uses over here, which is the nusach that Rabbi Rebek, who was a previous manhal of the Beis Din, used, is we mentioned, we'll talk about some of the other things, the Ikari Amuna that are referenced here, but included in the nusach, he says, you should be aware that there's Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras, and Mishpacha, so those are from the Chamuros. And then he talks about Tzaka, which is referenced here, and other Ben Adam L'Chaveros, like Bikur Chol and Nicham Avelim, and things like that. So that's Ke'ein, what these Mitzvos, Kalos are. Okay, that's point one. Point two, we discussed previously the Machlokas, Reb Chaim Moser, and the Devar Ram, about how to understand the application of the Ritvas, Agav and Saif, Gomber, V'Kibel, B'Zman Hazeh, and how you view a geiris for someone who's being megayir, let's say l'shem ishus, where there's no clear undana that they're not going to be sincere in the geiris. So just to point out, Rav Avadia has an article that was published in Torah Shabbal Peh, which was a journal. I think, I forget if it's volume Yud Beis or volume Yud Gimel, it was the Tavshin Lamed Gimel edition. I think it's volume Yud Beis of Torah Shabbal Peh. In the Tavshin Lamed Gimel edition. So it's a lengthy article about Geiris Bezman Hazeh. He begins talking about the tension between when it's appropriate to be Mekarev, when it's appropriate to be Merachek, which are issues that we discussed previously. And then he's Mesiaches to this Reb Chaim Moser and Bar Ram. The first he quotes Rav Herzog in the Shuvas Hechel Yitzchak Chelek Aleph Simen Kaf Aleph. Chuvas Hechel Yitzchak Chelek Aleph Simen Kaf Aleph, where Rav Herzog writes as follows. I'm loosely translating the gist of it, that even though we paskin kulam geirim heim, even if it's geiris l'shem ishas, but nowadays you have to be more cautious, because it used to be, this is along the lines of the Devar Ram, it used to be that if someone violated Mitzvah HaTorah, he would be socially ostracized, and people wouldn't associate with him. And therefore, when a ger or goy was mekabel to be megayir, even if the initial impetus was l'shem ishus, but he knows from the onset that if he's not going to be a firm Jew, then it's going to be even worse for him, and he's going to be expelled or ostracized from society. And he won't be able to go back to his previous social network either, because now that he converted, they're abandoning him as well. So he's going to be stuck in both directions. Nimsa kereach mikan umikan o chavrusa o misusa. So in order to have some social context, he has no choice but to become a card-carrying member of the Frum community. But nowadays, where there are a lot of irreligious people, and no one cares whether he came Issus or not. And he says, Lo rak she'enem miskashim klal b'prikas ola Issus me'aleya, ela hegam hinam gam omdim b'rosh kilos Yisrael. So those people are the presidents of the shuls also. So therefore, you have to be choshesh that maybe the person that be mekabel mitzvah seriously, it's only because of the external impetus, and he's saying what he needs to say to get where he needs to be, but he's not sincere. L'chein achrayis rabbi mutal sal bezdin abam megayir game kela. So bezdin has to be extra cautious and suspicious. Okay, that's Rav Herzog. Then Rav Avadia quotes the Dvar from, but he says, "Ulam ein zamecha klal. Yesh lomar shedavka bismanam shelo haisa kol efsharis legoy levatzei zamamo lisa yehudiya beli geiris kadasa gedin." It used to be that if a non-Jew wanted to marry Jewish women, there would be no way of doing it without geiris. V'kai v'toy avi dinara v'nimsa sheya onas al kabel sa mitzvah al geiris. Back then, the only way to marry this Jewish woman would be to be Megayir. So that's the Agav and Sayu. Aval b'zman hazeh, sheyeshna efsharus lios ima chayi ishios kam b'li geiris klal. Nowadays, you can live happily ever after with this Jewish woman without a geiris, or this Jewish man without a geiris. Kalkalasso, takanasso. So its strength is its weakness. She'ein kan shuv ones mamashi the kabbalas hamitzvos of a meisa gear. So nowadays there's no ones else of a kibbal. So why is he be megayir? He doesn't have to be megayir because he can live with her without being megayir. So the fact that he's megayir must be because he is sincere without the ritva. And that's along the lines of the achronin that we quoted previously. That's not called like Rav Chaim was himself. That's not called l'shem ishus. If he could live with her even without the geiris. So Rav Avadia says in Sakhin Yisrael that the Dvar Rav himself is somewhat tentative, and lo shavkinen pshitusei shel achiezer mishem sveiko shel Dvar Rav v'yekir kachiezer. But then he says yeshlus yashiv ol bazeh requires further analysis. So
the Rav being saying like society nowadays cares less about you being
right, the question is,
like,
what do you do with
that?
Right, exactly. Okay. So we'll come back to some of this when we discuss Kabbalah Samitzvahs, which will probably be the next year. Okay. But yesterday we discussed, as part of the process of Geiris, the general approach that there's an expectation that prospective Geirim are going to be immersing themselves in an observant community and becoming accustomed to living an observant lifestyle and keeping Torah Mitzvahs. So we discussed that there are certain things that perhaps a ger would be precluded from performing. Last time we discussed tefillin and mezuzah. The bigger ones that we'll focus on today are Shabbos and Talmud Torah. So the Rambam tells us, Melachim Perek Yud Halacha Yud, Halacha Tes, Hilchas Melachim Perek Yud Halacha Tes, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes. Goy she'asak v'tara chayiv misa. If a non-Jew learns Torah, he's chayiv misa. What does chayiv misa mean?
No, chayiv misa mamish, it's just, he's not, we don't actually kill him.
Just right, so as the Mishnah says, it doesn't mean we're going to kill him in Beis Din, it's misa v'deshamayim. Okay, so still bad. So goy she'asak v'tara chayiv misa. Lo yasak ela b'shavim mitzvah shalem l'vad. If he wants to learn, so he should focus on the shavim mitzvah b'nei noach. V'chein, goy sheshavas afilu b'yom imasachol. If a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, even on a Tuesday, imaso soli atzmok of a Shabbos chayim misa. But if he conducts himself and makes that into a Shabbos, then he's chayim misa ve'ein tzarich lomar imasamoi l'atzmo. Okay, this is all based on two names in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Tes. When it comes to Talmud Torah, there are actually two Gemaras, there's Sanhedrin Nun Tes and Chagiga Yugimel. So Sanhedrin Nun Tes is Nachri Sha'asi B'Torah Chayim Isa, and Chagiga Yugimel is the Isser on Yisrael to be Malami Torah L'Nachri. So those are two parallel Yisurim. Tosus discusses why you need both, but that's not our focus right now. Then the Rambam says, Kol L'Shel Dovar, Ein manichen asan lechadish das velasas mitzvah sa'atzman midaitan elo yager sedu vikabu kol mitzvah so yamu b'taraso velo yosef velo yigareya v'asak v'tara o shavas o chidesh tavar magnasa v'yonchen asa v'modina so shichay misa al zeh aval ein onera, we don't actually kill him, that would be probably bad policy. Yeah.
How could be asked for non-Jewish and they're not Jewish if they're not bound by our halacha?
Well, they are. They're bound by the system of halachas that we provide for Bnei Noach. So this is part of the system in a world that is run by Jewish society. We have certain codes of conduct for everyone in the world. So we have Shev Mitzvot Bnei Noach, and we have other details that govern how they operate as well. The Ramban, the expansive Dinim. So there are, they say, code of conduct for Bnei Noach. How the details of that code of conduct are a little bit sometimes murky. I remember about more than 15 years ago, Cardoza sponsored a conference on Noachide law. The presenters were Rabbi Yoel Schwartz from Eretz Yisrael, the Mechaber of all these Kedreisim, who has the Kuntres on Hilchos Bnei Noach, and Rabbi Bleich, and Professor Nachum Rackover. So remember, Rabbi Bleich, when he began his remarks, said that if Baal Bas calls me with the Shaila, so usually I have some sense as to how to go to answer the Shaila, even if I don't know the answer off the top of my head. So I have a library, I have a system where I can go and determine the answer to the Shaila. But if a Ben Noach calls me with the Shaila in Hilchos Bnei Noach, so that's a little more difficult. We don't have a Kirsa Shulchan Aruch for Hilchos Bnei Noach. He said, and even with Rabbi Schwartz's Kuntres, I have more questions than I have answers. So that's a murkier area for a Rabbi the Paskin, because we don't have as much guidance in Hilchos Bnei Noach. Since then, a very nice sefer came out called Toldos Noach. It was called Eila Toldos Noach or Toldos Noach, about 900 pages. I have it at home. I forget the name of the Mechaber, that Hilchos Bnei Noach. So it's a little bit of an attempt that it's a kitzur book on Hilchos Bnei Noach. But anyway, so Goysha Asa B'Torah Chayim Misa. So this is potentially a major impediment towards the conversion candidate who needs to learn Torah in order to know how to conduct himself once he becomes Jewish. We quoted last time the Minchas Olazer, the Munkacher, who said that if you're not going to teach him what he has to do to live as an observant Jew, then he's going to be nishal and averus and minyur megayir him, and you'll be over lifnei iver. So obviously, you have to teach Torah at least in order for him to know what to do when he is megayir. So that position, that there's this carve-out for prospective geirim, is articulated by the Marsha in Shabbos. That Gemara in Shabbos Amud Aleph that discusses the cases that came in front of Hillel HaZaken, where there were the people who were making unreasonable demands in the context of a geira. So one of them was Geirini Amanas Shia Kohen Gadol, and Hillel was Megairim. So the Gemara there says that Hillel told him to go read the Psukim about the restrictions on Kohanim, so he'd understand that a ger can't be a Kohen, no, much less a Kohen Gadol. So Marsha writes as follows. Miyuksas Kasha, how is it that Hillel HaZaken was Mekabel this ger, who was ostensibly being Megayer, L'shem Dabar Acher, he wanted to be Megayer in order to become a Kohen Gadol. A Mekabel Ger, Mishem Shelchem Malachim, Malam Mishem Ishas. La'adim, Zeshi Giratma, Mishem Kahuna, So this is no worse than L'shem Ishus or L'shem Shulchan Malachim. You can't be Megayer someone who has ulterior motivation, so you can't be Megayer someone who wants to become a Kohen Gadol. So how could Hill have proceeded immediately to be Megayer this fellow who was converting for ulterior motivation? So the Marsha writes, V'tzarech Lomar, Hadak Amar, Balafnei Hill of Vigirei Lavdach. It doesn't mean that he's Megayer on the spot. Ella Delo Girei at L'basar Hachi. So he actually wasn't Megayer him until some point later, She Yada the Ger Aser Bikahuna. So he only was Megayer this fellow once the person realized that a Ger cannot be a Kohen. Veloka Amr Le'el de Gairei, Ela Shekiva Le'elav the Gairei. It doesn't mean that he was Megayer him on the spot, it means that he accepted upon himself that he'll determined that he would be Megayer him at the appropriate point. When we talk Shalom L'shma, Bal L'shma, with the understanding that this guy ultimately is going to have the proper motives. Then the Marsha says, one second, Ein L'hakshos, Dimkein, Hayak Lamdu Torah Kodesh, and his Gayer. One second. If Hillel is telling him to go read Chumash before he's Megayer him, so isn't that a violation of Nachri Shalama Torah? So Moshe says that's not a problem. If it's in the context of a Geirus process, if it's in order to educate himself in preparation for Geirus, that's not a violation of Goy Shelamad Torah. So says the Marsha in Shabbos Daf Lamed Alf. Okay? So no Isser of Talmud Torah, at least as far as what's necessary in preparation for a Geirus process. There is a tshuva of Rebbe Akiva Eiger, Kama Simin Memdalid, tshuva of Rebbe Akiva Eiger, Kama Simin Memdalid, where Rebbe Akiva Eiger questions whether this marsha is correct lehalacha. Rebbe Akiva Eiger was asked about the following situation. There was a prospective ger who was interested in converting, but he lived in a country, as we noted in the past, that conversion was largely illegal in most of Europe throughout the medieval, the early modern period, until well into the Enlightenment. And this fellow was living in a place in Europe where conversion was illegal. So it wasn't shayach to be Megayer at that point anyway, but he was looking to make arrangements to potentially move somewhere else where Geirus would have been feasible. So in the context of that question, the Kivager was asked whether this person would be allowed to engage in Talmud Torah, presumably as part of a Geirus process, albeit a process with a indefinite, undetermined endpoint. That was the Shiloh Kivager was asked. So he notes this Marsha in Shabbos, and then he says the Marsha seems to be against different Tosos. Tosos in Yevamos Kaftalad Amabez, Kaftalad Amabez, Lobi Mei Davi, Lobi Mei Shlomo, we quoted the first part of this Tosos previously. The Tosos here is bothered. If it's the case that you can't be Megayer people L'shem Ishus or L'shem Davar Acher, then how is Hillel Megayer these Geirim? So Tosos answers, Batua Chaya Hillel, that Hillel was certain that in the end they would have kavanah l'shem shemayim. So there's a mashmaus in Tosfos that the geirus took place immediately. It's not that he waited until the geirus would be l'shem shemayim, but he assumed that as long as it's going to end up being l'shem shemayim, you can be megayer him on the spot. So that sounds like Tosfos in Yevamos is not assuming like the Marsha's understanding, and therefore at least you have no raya from Tosfos that there would be a heter of Talmud Torah for a candidate for Geirus. So ultimately Rebbe Akiva Eiger leaves this as a question, whereas he's unwilling to paskin definitively that this prospective ger would be mutter to Talmud Torah. So that's his bottom line, that he's not prepared to be mekel. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Yoridei Achela Gimel Simen Sadi, Yoridei Achela Gimel Simen Sadi, where Rav Moshe finds this Rav Eger's bottom line difficult to understand for the reasons that we mentioned earlier. How could it be, how is it conceivable that you could be megayer someone while restricting him up until the point of Geirus from any involvement in Torah education? That Rav Moshe thinks is inconceivable. So it must be that even Rebbe Akiva Eiger, says Rav Moshe, even Rebbe Akiva Eiger was talking about this limited case where there's no end game, there's no plan, the guy has no feasible way of being the Geir Lemaisa. He's stuck in a location where conversion is illegal, he has no immediate plans to move, it's all tentative. So under those circumstances, says Rav Moshe, Rebbe Akiva Eiger was reluctant to be Matir Talmud Torah. But even Rebbe Akiva Eiger should agree. You don't get that impression from the tshuva of Rebbe Akiva Eiger. Rav Moshe assumes even Rebbe Akiva Eiger should agree that under normal circumstances of a normal Geirus process where there is a end game, there is a plan, there is a schedule, it would be mutter for the Nochri to engage in Talmud Torah, at least as relevant to the Geirus process, to educate himself in what he needs to know to become Jewish. Okay. There is a Me'iri in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, who beferish is matir Talmud Torah for a let's say, a conversion candidate based on the following reasoning. Sanhedrin Nuntasamid Aleph Dibra Maskel Ben Noach. So Meiri writes, V'chein Adin, Im Asak B'Torah Shelo L'Kavanas Kiyum Ikari Mitzvah. So if a non-Jew learns Torah not because he wants to know the reasoning for the mitzvahs, Ela Shaliba Chafetz Leire Liyadiyas Tarasenu V'Talmudenu, but he wants to understand the depths of the intellectual underpinnings of Torah. Ra'i li'anesh mimnei shebnei adam sivuim alav shu mishalanu. So that is inappropriate. That is punishable because people are going to think that he's Jewish. Mitov sharona so yodeya, because they think that he knows. If the avo litos achram, people are going to make mistakes and ask him their shaylos. Just like we saw the concern last time that you can't sell a nachri tzitzis or you can't give him a mezuzah because maybe he's going to pass himself off as a Jew and kill you. Here the concern is that if you let the non-Jews come to the Daf Yomi Shir, then everyone's going to think that they're also Bali Hara, and you may come to ask them a Shaila, and that would be inappropriate, probably because they're also not hashkafically sound and may mislead you in the answer they give. Something along those lines. However, it says to me, Mikamakam, Koshu Osei Bikari Sheva Mitzvah, Zubrepratayim, if a non-Jew learns Hilchot Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, Sefer told us Noach, Ubamashi Yotzim Ehem, Apa Pisha Rov Gufei Torah Nechlolim Behem, even though, if you have an expansive understanding of Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, then that could include a lot, that could include all of Choshe Mishpat. Mechavdin Oso, but that's okay, that we allow. She'ein kan chashash litos acharav, shere afi shalogo, says he's learning things that are no gay him. V'kol shekei, im chakiroso al das lovo atachlis shleimus torasenu. But if his intent is to investigate and come to the truth of our Torah, ashe im yimse'en a shleima yaksar v'yiskayar, to the point that if he sees that everything seems to hold up and this is really the true legal system, then he would be megayar, that would be mutter. That's along the lines of what we quoted from the Netziv in the Artivan case, that Rebbe thought that Artivan was someone who was of proper understanding of Yichud Hashem and was encouraging him maybe to be megayar. And he says, if the reason the Nachri is learning Torah is he wants to get to the truth and he wants to find out what's really what's correct, what's the MS, and he may come to be Megayer on that basis, that would be mutter. Sam.
So, I mean, this relates to also Ramosha, but this gets in another direction. Mm-hmm. Where does learning things that are not Lamasa like get involved? Like, let's say either a non-Jew wants to learn Kachim or
right.
A Meir wants to learn Kachim.
So that would probably be Usher. You know, the allowance here is for those things that are necessary to facilitate a Geirus process, so either Jewish philosophy or a Jewish law practice. But Hilchos Mashicha, presumably, based on everything we're quoting so far, there would be no answer for it.
First language, they might ask him to like give a sock.
Right.
Maybe it was going to say that he could learn theoretical.
It sounds like, again, that to give a psak is a little bit of my embellishment. V'yavo litos acharav. It's not exactly clear what v'yavo litos acharav means. But if he's engaging in serious Talmud Torah, then people may suspect that he's Jewish and may draw... I'm sorry, erroneous conclusions about that. So.
Okay.
Fine. But this position that we attributed to the Marsha is basically the consensus of Poskim that a prospective ger would be allowed to engage in those elements of Talmud Torah that are relevant to the gerus process. So, for example, if you look at Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Vav, Os Aleph, Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Vav, Os Aleph. I won't give you all the Marmor Kombos, but the Sitzeliezer has this, and the Shevet Levi has this, Rav Avadya has this. So, just about all the contemporary poskim that discusses Shiloh are Makel that you would be allowed to teach, instruct a Geirus candidate about those areas of Torah that are relevant to the Geirus process.
Only those areas that are relevant?
Yeah, meaning to have, to encourage a Geirus candidate to learn Mishnayos Kachim or to go to a Daf Yomi Shiur would probably not be appropriate. But anything that has to do with Jewish philosophy and practice would be advised.
Is that more the Marsha, or is that more of didn't the Marsha sound like everything's okay?
I mean, the Marsha doesn't really expand.
I don't know if it's like good common sense to like care,
But the Marsha says, "Kevish, well, yeah, you're starting low motor." It's not clear the Marsha means this absolute, total blanket hat there for anything. Maybe. I don't think that's clear. He's coming to answer the question. So the answer to the question is, under these circumstances, it was mutter for Hillel to tell him to learn. I guess what one could argue that there is a blanket hat there, but I think the impression of most of the contemporary poskim, the poskim of the last generation that discusses this, is that the hatter is limited to that which they need to know. Now, that which they need to know is pretty expansive, but Stam to learn Kachin Taros and things that are totally not Lemaisa, where there's no general philosophical or hashkafic component and there's no halakhic component, probably would not be advisable.
Most Jews don't learn Kachin Taros anyway.
I'm sorry?
Most Jews don't learn Kachin Taros anyway.
So that's the reason of the Chumra or the Kula?
Chumra. I don't know.
What about Daf Yomi Shiur? Maybe they just want to...
Yes, that's probably not a good idea. We had one perspective, Ger, it was someone that already had a non-halachic or perhaps a non-accepted a Geirus previously, was coming to be Megayer under proper auspices, who was learning Daf Yomi. I think he actually dropped out before, didn't finish the process with us. But I don't think we encourage Daf Yomi participation at that stage. I guess it's arguable if it's Moed, Nash, and Dezikin, so maybe it'd be better. Okay. Ravavad, you're right. Yeah, Michael.
We discourage these things. We just say.
I think we discourage. They shouldn't be learning that, right? They
should only learn the better care, be like, don't learn X, Y, Z.
I don't think we don't usually tell them don't learn this, but they're generally learning what they're advised to learn. If someone is, if someone felt strongly that they want to learn Mishnayos Kachim, I don't know if we throw them out of the process for it, and it could be what to make of that. Okay. Ravadi writes, Ravadi's true is Yabia Omer Yoridea Chelet Beis Simen Yud Zayin Os Hey. Yoridea Chelet Beis Simen Yud Zayin Os Hey. So Ravadi doesn't seem all that excited about the Heter of Talmud Torah Lenachrim in a case of Geirus, although he allows for it. He says that the practice in Cairo was that they had a little kisser book or a pamphlet that they would give to the Geirus candidates that explained the basics of Judaism in Arabic. So a little kuntres in the vernacular that explained what they thought the Geirus candidates needed to know. There is a tshuva of the Rambam Pe'er Hador where there's some discrepancy in Nusach. So this is discussed, the Sefer Toldos Noach discusses this, and I think the Mishnah Sager discusses this. Tshuva Rambam Pe'er Hador Simen Nun. Very brief tshuva. So the Rambam writes here, Halacha hu below safek, this din of Nachri Shalamatara, the intia yad Yisrael tekifa aleihem yimana mitalmatara shisgayer. So if we have the ability to prevent Nachrim from learning Torah. We should do so until they're Megayer. Then he writes, V'yachol lamed ha-mitzvos l'notzrim. So you're allowed to teach the mitzvos to the Christians. V'yaschar va-onesh. Ki'yesh kama mehem shi'yaksu l'mutav. Because some of them, if they understand Torah, are going to do tshuva. V'heim omrim umodim ki tarasenu zos himen ha-shamayim hi. And as soon as lano ayde Moshe Rabbeinu. Then there'll be mode that our Torah is the authentic Torah that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hi ksuva etzlam bishle Musa. Does that mean that they have the Old Testament too? Achlif abim yigalu panim she'enam kalacha. But sometimes, if you give them access to Torah, they're going to misread psukim. The kama mehem heim chozim lamutav, but some of them are going to get it right, and so to speak, do tshuva and understand the truth. Ve'en bazeh michshol liyisrael. And in doing that, there's not going to be a michshol liyisrael. That's a little bit of a curious tshuva. The Toldos Noach points out that there may be other gersos here. I'm not quite sure how to read it, but it sounds like there's some possibility of allowing Talmud Torah for, along the lines of the Meiri, allowing Talmud Torah for a Nachrim that may come to be Megayir or understand the MS on the basis of that Talmud Torah. So that sounds like, whatever he's saying, it sounds like something along the lines of that Meiri.
Is there a reason he points that in notes?
I don't know. And maybe the...
They have the Bible.
I'm sorry?
They have, like, the Tanakh also.
Well, so do the Muslims, but maybe he's assuming that the Muslims are beyond the point of...
saving?
Right, I don't know.
Out of stone, the opposite. The
right.
Are more.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, there's an itziv. Shuvas Meshav Dav Rachel Bey Simon Ayin Zayin. Meshav Dav Rachel Bey Simon Ayin Zayin suggests that maybe the whole Isser of Talmud Torah Lenachrim is only an Isser for Torah Shabbal Peh, not an Isser for Torah Shabbat Sav. Then a Nachri would be allowed to, and maybe could even teach a Nachri Torah Shabbat Sav. After all, he says, the Gemara in Sota Lamed Hey, that Yeshua was Metargame the Torah to Shivim Lashonos. So presumably Yeshua wasn't translating it into 70 languages for the Jews, he was translating it for the Nachrim. So that sounds like, says the Nitziv, there may be an allowance for having Nachrim learn Torah Sheva Sav, and the problem is only Torah Sheva Al Peh. Many Achronim argue on this Nitziv. If you look at that Shuvah Rav Avadya, Chelik Beis Yeredeya Simin Yud Zayin, Chelik Beis Simin Yudzayin and Yaradeya Yabi Omer, Vavadya quotes many Mekoros or later Achronim that reject the Nesiv.
Isn't it intuitive if they have like, and also, I mean, all Final Fantasy Lurikans basically say the Bible anyway.
Right.
Which would basically be Kaj Rechtav.
Doesn't mean it's Mother, they didn't ask us.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Tzitzel Yezer, Chelakaf Aleph Simen Kafei, Chelakaf Aleph Simen Kafei discusses a position that he rejects, that maybe the issue is only to teaching the Tamei Hadinim and not the Dinim themselves, that you can teach them dry halachas, they can read the Kitzur Sefer without the footnotes. They can read the bottom line without understanding the reasoning. I mean, that's why all the English Kitzur Sefarim have Hebrew footnotes, because they make them less accessible. But the Tzitzel Yezer thinks that's incorrect halacha. He does discuss such a position. Rabbi Bleich has an article that's reprinted in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 2, on the topic, and he has many more marmakomos if you are interested in looking. Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 2, and there's a whole chapter in the Sefer Toldos Noach on this topic as well. The corollary in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is the Isser of Goy Sheshavas. Goy Sheshavas, Chayav Misa. So that presumably is relevant to a Geirus candidate as well, that there be an Isser for a Geirus candidate to keep Shabbos. Now, the Me'iri that we just quoted says the same thing that he says regarding Talmud Torah in the context of Shmira Shabbos as well. Meaning, the reason that a Nachri is Usher B'Shabbos is because he may give a misimpression to other Jews. If they see this Nachri keeping Shabbos, they may think he's Jewish, and that could cause problems. So the Me'iri doesn't have the same kind of carve-out for that he has for Talmud Torah. The Me'iri says, Talmud Torah, if you have a Nachri who's learning Torah for the right reasons, so to speak, that would be mutter. So he doesn't say, if you have a Nachri who's keeping Shabbos for the right reasons, that's mutter. But in theory, you could hear an argument based on that Me'iri that maybe someone who's been Megayer in the process of Geirus, in the process leading up to Geirus, would be mutter b'shmira Shabbos because there's no concern of misleading other Yisraelim. And there is a Tosis Yishanim who basically is of this position b'feirush. The Tosis Yishanim is in Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis in Yevamos. The Tosis Yishanim has a line. The Gemara here is talking about a kind of Ger Toshav, the situation of a Ger Toshav keeping Shabbos. So the Tosafot Shanim asks, how could that be? Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa. Says the Tosafot Shanim in one teretz. Dezeh came in the Dain HaLis Gayer Masi Lishvos. So someone who is intending to be Megayer, according to one day in Tosafot Shanim, would be allowed to keep Shabbos. I think this is the only Rishon that we know of that writes this Beferish. Or if you could extrapolate that from the Me'iri, the Tosafot Yishanim is pretty Beferish, at least in one Teretz. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a citation. This is in the end of Tshuvas Kamba. In the back of Tshuvas Vayim Kamba, there are Hashmatos. So sometimes in Tshuvas Varim, sometimes you have matechos in the back that have information that's not included in the tshuva. Kiveger has hashmatos, so some footnotes to the tshuvas. So in the hashmata to tshuva kuf kaf aleph, he quotes the following from the Baal Hafla. He quotes from the Baal Hafla that the iser of goy sheshavas applies only to a nachri who is shoves for the 24-hour period beginning Shabbos morning, going through Moshe Shabbos. Because when it comes to Nachrim, the day begins in the daytime, night or night. By us, it's Yom HaLech Achar Laila. By Nachrim, it's Laila HaLech Achar Yom. So the Yisra of Goy Sheshavas is for the non-Jewish day, which is Laila HaLech Achar Hayom. So according to that, if a Nachri keeps Shabbos from sundown Friday to say on Shabbos, he wouldn't be in violation of Nachri Sheshavas because he hasn't kept the non-Jewish Shabbos. Kvega rejects this suggestion, but it is, so to speak, on the books. General practice of Bate Din is to advise conversion candidates to keep Shabbos with the exception of one thing. You have to perform one malach over the course of Shabbos to make sure that they're not in violation of Nachri Sheshavas. So I think the standard thing that people are told is to turn on a light. So the question is, do you need to have a malacha d'oraisa? So he asked Rav Shachter this question once, and he thought that you should have a Nachri, that if you're going to tell the Nachri to be Mechal Shabbos with the Malacha, it should be a Malacha Daraisa. But nowadays, most of our lights, as we've discussed, may only be a Malacha Darabanan, so to tell a Nachri to turn on the light may not be sufficient. You may have to tell him to do, maybe strike a match. That would be Malacha Daraisa Koladeis. You tell him to write also, if it's a script, according to the Ramah, one day, maybe the Salsa Darabanan. So you have to figure out a good Malacha Daraisa, Avi.
Would it be enough for him to do the Malacha Daraisa, or we want like a Malacha
Full blown. Hotzah is a malacha, but to have a tzah deraisa, you need a rishis rabbin. So it's a little hard to come across a rishis rabbin. That's what I'll get to a chasm sofer that's relevant to that in a few minutes. Okay, so that's the general recommendation of Batei Din to be mechal Shabbos with one malacha. We'll talk, when we talk about Mila and Tvila, we'll talk about the status of a Malvel and Tavel, which is a whole other issue in the halachic literature, Shmir Shabbos for a Malvel and Tavel, but that's, we're going to leave that aside for the moment. Now, what about a Suffolk Jew? Someone is in the process of Geirus because they had a questionable previous Geirus because there's some Suffolk in their status. They may be Jewish, they may be not be Jewish, we can't determine it for sure. Someone's from the B'nai Anusim and claims that they're from Morano descent and they're really Jewish but can't prove it. All these situations that we have all the time, people who are Suffolk Jewish and are going through a Geirus process. So what does a Suffolk Jew do about Shabbos? The Minchas Chinuch raises this question. The end of Mitzvah Lamed Beis, the longest mitzvah in the... And the Sefer Chinuch of Shabbos, the longest mitzvah in the Minchas Chinuch, so at the end of pages and pages and pages and pages in his Ma'arechas HaShabbos, he has a little section called Asufi. So in his section on Asufi, he raises this question. It seems like a catch-22. If he's going to keep Shabbos, then he runs the possibility that he's violating Gosh HaShabbos. If he's not going to keep Shabbos, he's violating potentially Yisrael Shechil HaShabbos, which is a big problem. So I would have said, whatever Gosh HaShabbos Chayim Misa means, it's more kal, Misa B'Dei Shemayim is more kal than the Chiyuv Skila of Shabbos. Right? So I would have said, if it's a choice between, you don't know whether you're Jewish, and you've been Mechal Shabbos, or you're not Jewish, and you're keeping Shabbos, so I would have said it's better to keep Shabbos because the consequences of a Goy Shabbos are less severe than of a Yisrael Shechil Shabbos. So Minchas Chinuch doesn't say that. He seems to assume that the two issues are of equal severity. So he suggests that maybe a person in this situation, a Suffolk Jew, Suffolk Nachri, should do a Malacha B'chatzi Shir. So what do you gain by doing Malacha B'chatzi Shir? So if he's Jewish, he hasn't, even if Chatzi Shir is Asim in the Torah, first of all, that's the whole discussion, is there Chatzi Shir by Malacha Shabbos? The Rosh Hashan Daf Ayin Dalim Shabbos, that's not Pashim. Even if you assume that there's Chatzi Shir by Malacha Shabbos, and even if you assume that Chatzi Shir Asim in the Torah, but it's still Patr V'Losu, there's no Chiv Misa. So, all the time that he's Jewish, he's only violated a Chatzi Shir. If he's not Jewish, so he's been Mechal Shabbos because there's no Shirim for Bnei Noach. Right? Goy Shagazal is Chayiv for less than Shavar Puta. Shirim are only a Jewish thing. There's no notion of Shirim for Bnei Noach. So if he's a Bnei Noach, then he's been Mechal Shabbos B'Vadai, even with the Chatzi Shir, and if he's a Yisrael, he hasn't been Mechal Shabbos on a Chiv level, because it's only a Chatzi Shir. So that's the suggestion of the Minchas Chinuch. That's not generally what Batei Din advise. That would be pretty complicated to implement. That's the Minchas Chinuch's suggestion. Pardes Yosef, yeah?
Probably hard to explain.
Hard to explain, yeah. That would involve significant Talmud Torah. Yeah.
Everyone agrees to that since a goy doesn't have shirim, so it would be a malacha.
Should follow. No?
like, toward,
why not?
This was never said to the usher. Then.
There's no notion of sheer, if there's an Isra, Gosh Shabbat, so that's defined by Malacha. So if there's no notion of Chachir Shir, Shir, by Nachrim, so then
this isn't
that's
a
considered a Malacha. I'm sorry.
It's not a Malacha.
It's a Malacha of Chassi Shir, but it's a Dosh Shir, and then it's a Malacha of Gnur. That's what he says. There's a part of this Yosef in Parshas Noach, Os Mem Gimel, who quotes the following for the Chasam Sofer. This is Ke'ein, the famous joke, but the Chasam Sofer says it seriously. Chasam Sofer says that if you have a suffix as to whether you're Jewish or not, you should wear tzitzis in Rishus HaRabim. Because if you're Jewish, so then you're allowed to wear tzitzis in Rishus HaRabim because it's a beged. So you haven't violated anything. If you're not Jewish, then it's a masa, it's not a malbush, it's a masa, and then you'd be chayiv, it would be considered chil Shabbos for wearing tzitzis in Rosh Hashanah. So assuming you have Rosh Hashanah, and that's the Chasam Sofer's Esa, that, that's the famous joke of the Gavis candidate that doesn't hold the Erev. But the Chasam Sofer meant it seriously, that's probably where it came from. So anyway, he slides it, if you're Jewish, so then you're allowed to wear tzitzis in Rosh Hashanah because it's a bag. And if you're not Jewish, it's a masa, and that's a violation of Hotzah. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef.
Why isn't that a bag for a goy?
Because tzitzis have no, it's not ornamental and it's not functional. So if anything's not ornamental and not functional, then there's an Isra masa.
What if he's a Prisker? They don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos because they close your skirt.
Right, okay. Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current chief rabbi, recently authored, it came out a couple years ago, a Kuntres Hagir, which is reprinted. It's actually on the Rabbanut website. I can send you a link if you want. Very nice work. So Rav Yitzchak Yosef makes the following observation that if you have a Suffolk Jew or Suffolk non-Jew, you should definitely keep Shabbos, because the notion of Sveika L'chumra doesn't apply to Nachrim. So we say Suffolk derives to L'chumra. So you would have said that if a Nachri has a Suffolk whether to keep Shabbos or not, so Sveika derives to L'chumra, he should violate Shabbos. But if there's no notion of Sveika L'chumra by Nachrim, so then he shouldn't violate Shabbos, because he's not obligated to, in a situation of Suffolk, he's not obligated to be Machmir. That's his analysis. Bottom line, what we generally assume is like what I think the Muscovy Rishon would have been, that the consequence of a Goyish Shabbos is much less severe than a Yisrael Shechil Shabbos. So anytime you have a Suffolk as to whether someone's Jewish or not, even if it's a Suffolk Koldu, even if it's a very clearly non-halachic Geirus, but you could create some argument according to some sheet and Duchuyin Rishonim that maybe there's some opinion that the Geirus would be valid, we still tell a person not to be Mechal Shabbos, because Yisrael Shechil Shabbos is a much more severe issue than a Goy Shabbos. Okay. One other issue that needs to be navigated, and sometimes this is a unnavigatable issue, when it comes to dealing with prospective conversion candidates, is the question of inviting for yontif meals. So we're not learning Beisa because you're in this kolo, but the rest of the kolo is in Beisa this year. The Gemara in Beisa and Daf Kaf Aleph has it in that the heter, the allowance of ochel nefesh on yontif, doesn't extend to cooking for nachrim. So you're not allowed to cook for Nachrim on Yontif, and then the Gemara has them as an extension. You're not allowed to be mazmin a Nachri for Yontif meal, Shema Yarba Bishvila. Maybe you're going to come and cook extra for the Nachri. That would be a violation of Malach on Yontif, because there's no Heter Vochel Nefesh. So therefore, you're not allowed to invite a Nachri for a Yontif meal. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Sim Aruchayim, Simen Tav Kuf Yud Beis Sif Aleph. Simen Tav Kuf Yud Beis Sif Aleph. The Mechaber writes, Eim Mevash L'Matzara Kusim Yantiv. You're not allowed to cook for Nachrim. L'Fikach Asir L'Azmino Shema Yarbe V'Shvilo. So you're not allowed to invite a Nachri for Yantiv meal because you may come to prepare. Says the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Gimel. It doesn't make a difference if you prepared everything ahead of time. You're not planning on cooking anything on Yantiv. You have everything prepared before Yantiv. But maybe you'll cook more. The fact that you think you have everything prepared, since you're allowed to cook on Yantiv, and you're not going to realize the distinction between cooking for Yisrael and cooking for Nachrim, so you're not allowed to invite a Nachri for a meal on Yantiv, even if you think you prepared everything ahead of time. So this would seem to impose a major impediment on a conversion candidate who wants to get an invitation for a Yantiv meal. Because all year round, we encourage them to get invited to families for Shabbos, to experience Shabbos and understand what it means, and become educated on how to observe the Shabbos halachically. And then on Yantiv, they're going to be left out in the cold without anywhere to eat because of this iser to invite them. Now, on Shabbos, Yantiv that falls on Shabbos, this wouldn't be an issue because there's no the iser only applies on Yantiv, which is Bachol, when there's Heter Vachol Nefesh. So to invite a Nachri for a Shabbos meal on Yantiv would be, or Yantiv meal on Shabbos rather, would be okay, but it's a problem on a Yantiv that falls on a weekday. Yeah?
Is the Haraman and have the guy come to help, and then the guy spends most of the time sitting at the table eating? They have to like wash a couple of dishes, and we have an oval.
Why does that help?
So we have an oval come to Simcha if they're, you know, taking photographs or something else that's for the purpose of the Simcha.
Well, it's also a question we discussed last year, but
right, I'm saying
how would that help here?
Because the guy now has a place to go for Yantiv, but you didn't. But officially, the guy is coming because the guy is, you know, helping with the dishes or helping serve. But spend most of the time sitting at the Suda.
So that sounds like you're basically inviting him. It's just an excuse. So I don't think I'm not sure if that would help, Michael.
Isn't there a general issue to eat with goyim? Like, aren't we? Maybe I'm just thinking about Pais Yisrael in general. That we don't want to eat with goyim because we're afraid we're going to marry their children.
That's why there is Isurim of Bishal Nachri and Shechar Nachri.
So that doesn't apply to just eating with them. It only applies to eating their food. Okay.
Okay. So there is a tshuva, the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Yud Ches, Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Yud Ches, who is addressing the following case. You have a Jewish-owned hotel, and there are non-Jews that want to eat there on Yantiv. So is the Jewish-owned hotel allowed to have non-Jewish guests who are going to be eating the food on Yantiv? You know, can the non-Jewish kitchen staff working in the kitchen also cater to non-Jewish guests on Yantiv? So that's the issue that the Minchas Yitzchak addresses, Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Yud Ches. So he has the following suggestion, that if all the cooking and all the food preparation is being done in the kitchen by a non-Jewish staff, there are no Jews in the kitchen, and the Jews basically don't have access to the kitchen. There's no way that the Jews are going to themselves do any of the food preparation. So under those circumstances, he thinks that in principle there's what to be made about, because Ribuy b'shi'urim is only a din d'rabbanan. So what are we worried about? Are you going to throw in more food to the pot for the Nachri? So that's the nisa d'rabbanan. And Amir l'Nachri is also only nisa d'rabbanan. So this is kind of a shvus d'shvus. So shvus d'shvus, the way he puts it, b'malkum darkei shalom. If you're going to discriminate and not allow non-Jewish guests in your hotel, that could run into issues of darkei shalom. Perhaps other discrimination issues as well. And therefore, he thinks there's what to be makel about to construct the shvus to shvus, because at worst, even if you were to be marv, it would be the nachri being marv on behalf of another nachri, biribu vishirim, which is only derban anyway. That's the Minchas Yitzchak's argument. The Rosh Hechter points out along the lines of Minchas Yitzchak, in theory, let's say you have non-Jewish help in your kitchen, and you never walk into the kitchen yourself. So all the food preparation is being done by non-Jews in the kitchen, and you don't go into the kitchen, you have nothing to do, there's no way you'd have anything to do with the food preparation. So maybe under those circumstances, you can invite a prospective ger for Yontif. That's not terribly practical. Most of us don't live in such situation. Minchas Yitzchak, by the way, doesn't like his suggestion anyway, because he thinks it's going to lead to some chisar in the Kedushas Yontif. But in theory, it could work. Rav Schechter points out, in theory, this could work in our case also, but it's not really so practical. Some posts can discuss the possibility of being makne the food to the Nukri before Yontif. So if they own the food that they're going to eat before Yontif, then you're not really masmin them because it's their food anyway, and this iser wouldn't apply. So number one, that's a little bit, number one, somewhat impractical. Number two, you have to figure out what kinyanim work. Like when we have chametz, when we have kinyanim with nachrim, there are various forms of kinyanim. You have to figure out which one works. Number three, that doesn't necessarily prevent the possibility of shemi yarbi b'shvila, because maybe you'll cook other food for the snachri. So you are maknehim a piece of gefilte fish and a spoonful of chalid before yantiv, but maybe you'll cook other things. So that's not necessarily the most foolproof suggestion. Another possibility is the kresh. You know, the iser is to be mazmin. So if you don't invite them, they just come on their own, so maybe you haven't violated the iser of being mazmin and achri. So that's also a little bit challenging to choreograph, to have someone advise prospective gerim where to crash without the people that they're crashing on knowing that they're coming to crash. Well, that's a possibility. Rav Schwartz, Gedalia Schwartz, happens to be makel on these things for gerus candidates because he has a cheshbon based on what we'll discuss in Malva Lotavo, that maybe someone who's already seriously in the gerus process isn't restricted by this din of being mazmin and ofri. That's a big chiddush. We'll have to discuss where that comes from when we get to the issue of Malva Lotavo. But that's not so broadly accepted. So bottom line, this is a thorny issue without a very clear heter, although there's some possible heter to speak of, and it's not a simple matter. Okay. Next time, we're going to move on to the discussion of Kabbalos HaMitzvos as a part of the Geirus process. I sent you some initial marmakonos, I'll try to send you some more. And this basically is the crux of all political and public policy and any broad discussion of Geirus in contemporary times. It all focuses on the requirement of Kabbalos HaMitzvos as part of the Geirus process.